Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning, Amy Pettit and friend. Welcome, Amy. I'm wondering if you would introduce the person you brought with you this morning.
I would love to, and I've been thinking about this introduction a little bit. Mary is here in the studio with us this morning, and I was thinking about how I would introduce her because she has a couple of different hats. And I will say this, she's a friend, she's a colleague, she's a fellow cheesehead. We can talk about that if you want. And most importantly, and what we're here to talk about today, is she's the editor of Edible Alaska. So Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. Well, since you have brought someone with an expansive view, editing Edible Alaska, I'd like to tell us a little bit. Let's start by talking about Edible Alaska as a journal. You explain it.
Yeah, Edible Alaska is a quarterly print publication. So we just released our third issue. We're printing seasonally. So the winter issue, as you can imagine, focuses on a lot of seasonal food stories. We try to offer the reader a really eclectic mix of food-based stories and recipes. The magazine is designed to serve Alaskans across the entire state. So no matter where you live in Alaska, we hope you'll find something appealing about the magazine. You'll recognize names and faces spread through the pages.
So this always intrigues me, how people create something new. And this is relatively new.
Yeah. Yes. We just launched this summer.
Okay. So when you were growing up, did you, what's the genesis? What was the spark that caused this to actually happen?
The short-term genesis, I would say, takes us back about a decade. The Edible Alaska is a member of a family of publications. So we joined a international U.S. and Canada-based organization that publishes edible magazines right now in about 80 different locations.
All right.
So as you travel through the lower 48 or Canada, you can find yourself reading Edible Cape Cod or Edible Silicon Valley. So a wide variety of locally based magazines.
Yeah.
Many of them regionally or hyper-regionally based.
Okay.
We are part of a small group of statewide publications. So we hang out with Edible Hawaiian Islands and Edible New Jersey, although the three of us have little in common, except maybe distribution concerns.
I think the first one I read was Edible Portland, and I actually am still a subscriber. Is it Portland?
Yes, Edible Portland.
Because I'm still a subscriber to that one, because with my Oregon roots, I just like the Oregon food scene is pretty happening. And so I became a subscriber to Edible Oregon, and then actually had dreams myself, Mike, of creating Edible Alaska, and then here comes Mary, and she's
Mary
doing it.
Mary comes along and does this.
Yeah.
I had also been a reader of many edibles, and I had worked for a seafood company that had retail stores in Southern California, and I had purchased ad space in Edible Santa Barbara and Edible Orange County. And so I saw it as a great vehicle to tell local food-based stories. And I always wondered, when will there be Edible Alaska? Because surely it will be the best of all the edibles when it comes out, just
absolutely,
because of the amazing stories, you know, whether you look at our fascinating world of agriculture in Alaska, you have, you know, wonderful stories about subsistence hunting and fishing, stories that have traditions of many different cultures. You know, our commercial fishing industry has no shortage of amazing stories. Great chefs doing innovative work, innovative food producers, distilleries, breweries, the new Double Shovel Cidery. There's just so much happening in this state.
So I'm in agreement with you. I keep being amazed discovering new foods or new products, et cetera, all the time. And I think listeners now have an idea of how this fits into the panoply of magazines. But the cover article, what do we have on this issue? The cover article.
We're featuring some holiday cookies.
Whoa, how about that? Okay, I see that. And they're tastefully, artfully
It's beautiful.
Displayed.
The cover is just beautiful
right.
this
Thank
time.
You.
So if someone, how do you get contributions of stories, et cetera, into the?
Great question. In the beginning, we solicited stories. Mm-hmm. You know, we reached out to people that we knew or connections that were suggested to us. You know, I read every newspaper in the state and looked at bylines and just sent out requests. As soon as people heard we were coming, you know, we announced the magazine pretty early in the process. We attended the Alaska Food Policy Council event in February of last year and had a table and sort of introduced the idea. And people were immediately excited. And I started receiving story pitches almost immediately. Yeah. If I published every great pitch I got now, the magazine would be 100 pages long, which is a great problem to have.
Oh, okay.
So people are really excited to have a venue for food-focused stories. I think we've been, you know, very encouraging to people. You don't have to be a professional writer to write for Edible Alaska. You just have to be someone with a passion about a story, and you can tell your story, and, you know, we'll work with our editor to whip it into shape if need be. But I think people are surprised sometimes, you know, that if they have something they're passionate about, they're able to tell a great story. So we really encourage anyone who has a story to tell to try to tell it.
Okay. So in terms, very often when we talk about any new endeavor or anything, we like to look and see, what is your goal? What's the impact that you'd like to have this magazine have?
Yeah, I would say we have a couple of goals. One I would say is the obvious goal, that we want to use Edible Alaska as a vehicle to highlight the many positive food-based stories or activities that are happening throughout the state.
Right.
In particular, ones that may not be getting the coverage that they deserve, or there just hasn't been a place to tell that particular story. So kind of the underserved market that we'd like to get their story out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a larger goal that we'll continue working towards is being a clearinghouse of information. You know, we're trying to in the fall issue, we featured a great story about a mobile greenhouse in Southeast Alaska, and we tried to present it in a way that other school districts throughout the state might read that story and be inspired to contact those people and start their own greenhouse. So we want to act as sort of a conduit or a connector.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense.
Of people doing similar activities.
I think for me, Mike, Edible is, and it says it right here on the front cover, which I'm glad, but I'm fully on board with this, celebrating local foods in Alaska.
Okay.
That's what this magazine does. It's helping to tell all the different stories from production and harvest to, you know, there's delicious recipes in here. There's coloring for kids, you know, that's based around foods on the back page. It's a celebration of food, and it's really the only place where the whole thing is about food, and it's about local food, and it's nothing else. There's no politics, there's no religion, there's no sports, although Mary and I would like to include, you know, something about the Packers in every episode. But
you're not talking about meat packers.
Well, there's plenty of stories we could be telling about meat packers, surely. But
oh, my gosh, what
we've
a hot topic
about,
lately.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a celebration of local food, and it just you sit down with it and you can't put it down. This is my first touch of the third edition, and I just want to go sit in my office and read it cover to cover. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we wanted to, I mean, I think people often ask many of the Edible publishers, you know, print media, print is, I mean, who reads magazines anymore? But we really find that people crave that moment to unplug, to sit down in a quiet corner with a hot tea or a glass of wine and just enjoy reading the magazine.
I understand that. And in fact, this morning I had a few moments, and while I was sort of finished up breakfast, I had an alumni magazine that had been sitting there for a while, and I began reading it, and I realized, well, I made it over here, but I became almost lost in a series of articles that were fascinating. And I'm a person who certainly uses a computer and goes on the internet, et cetera. But I find that using a magazine, something that I'm holding, looking at, et cetera, allows me to be in a more deeply contemplative mode. I'm just sharing my own experience here, but with all of the ability to get stuff off the internet quickly and breeze on to the next thing, I sometimes find myself wondering whether I've done justice to each of these places that I've landed briefly.
Right.
When I'm with you. I've just done that this morning, as early as that. When we talk about any production, though, magazine and certainly looking at it, it's impressive. Funding. How does that happen?
Yeah. So we have a wonderful group of advertisers, some of whom have been working with us from the first issue, which was something that I was so appreciative of. People that took a chance on advertising in a magazine that had yet to publish, okay. Including Amy and the Alaska Farmland Trust. So we have advertiser support, which is an opportunity for me to say thank you to all those advertisers, encourage our readers to patronize them,
okay.
And thank them for supporting Edible Alaska. We also offer a subscription option. So although the magazine is available for free, we do encourage people to buy a subscription for a couple of reasons. One is because those subscription dollars, 100% help us continue the mission. So they pay for the writers, they pay for the photography, and they allow us to continue bringing these stories to people. It also lets you get the magazine delivered right to your door. You don't have to go out and look for it.
Okay.
So it's a convenience option.
That sounds interesting. Now, if someone were hearing this program saying, well, I'd like to look at that, where would they look for it?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do is just hop on our website. That's edibleak.com.
Okay.
And then the subscription page is pretty easy to find. Generally, if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see a couple prompts to remind you to subscribe. Just click on that subscribe button.
Okay.
And then that'll take you to the subscription page. If you're not a computer person, you can always mail a check in to us.
Okay.
And all the information is available in the masthead of the magazine. Here in Palmer, the easiest place to pick one up is probably at Non-Essentials, or you can stop by Amy's office and she'll have a copy available for you. I'll also leave a pile here at the radio station.
So listeners who are out there, if you're interested and you're coming on by, you're in downtown, this is particularly good time because, as we know, Colony Christmas is coming up on Saturday, and there will be, as I'm guessing, I know what's happened in the past. I'm guessing there will be hordes of people everywhere.
Hordes. The masses come to Palmer for Colony Christmas.
Be ready.
That's a nice thing. And
I want to jump in there, Mike. When we talk about the subscription, I just want to throw out an idea. You know, people are – it's that time of year. I saw something about, all your holiday gifts should be in the mail already if you're shipping things outside. And I had a brief moment of panic because my holiday gifts are not
in the mail.
But this is an incredible gift idea to purchase a subscription for someone on your list. And particularly for me, I have so many friends and family outside that love Alaskan stories. They love that touch and feel of Alaska. And what a great gift idea for them. I've been making a list of folks that I want to buy, and I actually have gotten subscriptions for a couple of them, but there's a few more out there that I think, oh, that's such an easy, quick, and
there
great gift.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
Well, subscription to Edible.
Great suggestion.
Yeah.
Thanks, Amy.
Mary,
yeah.
I see you. I see the magazine. Who else is involved in this? You've talked about an editor. Is there an organization, or what's the group, or what's the structure?
Yeah, we do have the opportunity to rely heavily on the Edible community. So at any moment, I can pick up the phone and, call the publisher of Edible Seattle.
Okay.
If I have a question about literally anything. So the one of the great things about our Edible community is just the way all the publishers help each other out. My husband's on the masthead as publisher. He's an integral part of the entire operation. We have an editor. But in all honesty, it's the writers, the photographers, and the artists that do the bulk of the work. I'm just sort of a coordinator of everything they do. And then we organize it and get it cleaned up. All the writers in here are people that you'll recognize. Either you know them or you've read their work before. Same thing with the photographers.
And that's another good thing. I'm always struck when I look down and say, oh, I know that person.
Yeah, it's great.
That happened.
It's great.
So I'm guessing from the Alaska Farmland Trust perspective, Amy, that this is a good thing.
Absolutely. I've been a big believer since the very beginning. Like I said, in Amy's personal life, Amy was considering, before I met Mary, Amy was considering, how can I make Edible Alaska happen? I had a vision for it. So I was so glad when they came along and launched it. But for Farmland Trust, hopefully someday there'll be a feature on some of our landowners, some of the properties that we have easements on.
Sure.
But for us, you know, when we get back to what Farmland Trust does, saving the soil, the future of food in this state, this helps us. This helps us tell Alaskans and other people about the connection between the food, the soil, the land, et cetera. So I just think it's such a win-win for us. Positive agriculture stories out there, positive food stories, reminding people of where their food comes from, the connection to the land, et cetera. So, yeah, I'm a big believer. You'll see we're on the back cover. We have been for the last three editions and hope to continue to be there because we believe in this.
So we talked a little bit about how Edible Alaska connects, obviously, with sponsorships and so on. There are other organizations here in the state. In previous programs, we've talked about 4-H, FFA, and so on. Do you have any connections to any of those other food-related groups?
Yeah, I mean, in the sense that that we're aware of them, you know, I've had casual conversations with 4-H and FFA because I think both of those organizations would offer terrific stories.
Sure.
Certainly as features for the magazine, you know, I think of the magazine as offering sort of a public service opportunity. Mm-hmm. So you know, if someone is part of an organization and you're listening and you have a tiny budget, you know, don't hesitate to reach out. And there's a way that we can work together to get your message out. You know, we're printing 10,000 copies. We put a lot of effort into getting the magazine out across the state. And if people want a copy, we will get it to them. So it can be a great message for someone who wants to get their or a great opportunity for someone who wants to get their message out statewide or locally.
Okay, because what I'm thinking is very often groups, individuals cooperate with others in sponsoring events. Mm-hmm. Might be something at the depot across that deals with Edible Alaska, et cetera, and those kinds of things. So this would appear to be a welcome addition. I have to tell you, until you walked through the door and talked about it, I had not been aware of Edible New Jersey and Edible everyone else. So you've really informed me in this process. Any other comments you'd like to make about where you? I'm particularly interested in where you think this will be going into the future. Do you have any plans, big plans?
We do. We have a very exciting plan developing for the summer. So we are going to be having sort of a spring, summer, fall roadshow all around South Central. So we'll be living out of a van.
Oh, okay.
So we purchased a small motorhome that's going to be the kind of mobile Edible Alaska sort of office and event center. So we really are looking forward to connecting with people all around the road system. So whether you're in Homer or North Pole, you know, you'll see us multiple times as spring and summer arrive. And we'll be doing lots of little pop-up events. And
that's exciting.
Really trying to be a presence in a lot of communities.
That's
yeah.
Great.
Two of you going to go, or what's?
Yeah. So if anybody needs a ride to Fairbanks, just stay in touch.
A road trip there, all over the roads.
Yeah, maybe we'll have some special guests join us throughout the summer. It should be really fun.
Well, and how about that, Amy? Would you?
Oh, I will be in that van as much as I possibly can be. Every time Farmland Trust has an event, hopefully the Edible
that van
Alaska
will come rolling
van
up.
Will be there, and
okay.
Yeah, we'll help you know continue to promote this idea of celebrating food in Alaska and telling the stories.
Well, so far today, we have a few minutes left. We've focused on Edible Alaska, and I'm wondering, Amy, if you wanted to add anything else today in terms of things that are happening, particularly with Farmland Trust.
Yeah, so we have a couple of exciting announcements from the Farmland Trust perspective. First, last week when I was on, I mentioned the online store.
Right.
It's live. It's there now.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
More great Christmas gifts.
Tell us more.
Great Christmas gifts.
Remind us.
So the akfarmland.com, there's a very easy shop button, and you just click the shop button, And I think we have 10 different items available for people to peruse, including the incredibly popular Drink Beer Safe Farm shirts and hats. They are there in limited supplies. So if you were thinking you wanted one for Christmas, don't hesitate. Then we've got just some great Alaska Farmland Trust gear, T-shirts and other hats and polar fleece hats and lots of great stocking stuffers and Christmas presents. So the store is open. So get out there and get your shopping done.
So this is a virtual store. So there's not really a store for people to walk into. You got to go to the internet.
Got to go to the website. Yep.
And then
I'm the little elf behind the scene that packs the boxes
and go over and then mail it or
So for local folks, they have a local pickup option. They don't have to wait for the mail. Yes, they can come get it from my office after they've used the store. So.
Because I have been to the post office.
Right.
Yesterday.
This time of year.
At the post office. Right. Long time.
Yeah.
I had what the good news, of course, is you have an opportunity to have conversations with
people in the community.
People.
Mary, that's where you should go with this.
if you want to
reach Palmer.
Bring my little square reader. I've been experiencing multiple post office experiences across the area over the last week. And yeah, you know, go in with a smile.
Yeah.
Maybe some candy in your pocket.
Not in a hurry. No.
And I don't know about you, but I can't seem to find a time that is the best time.
Right.
No, I'll
share my secret map of automated post offices around the state where you can go in on a quiet Sunday.
Oh, really?
And use their machine to weigh and stamp and mail your package kind of.
Do we have one of those in the valley?
Where's
I don't know if there is one in the valley, but Anchorage has. There's two that are very useful.
And it might be faster to drive.
If you have other errands in Anchorage,
things, right.
You know, you can,
absolutely.
It's 24 hours, so you can go in there at your convenience. So if you're in Anchorage and they usually have flat rate box. I travel with a roll of packing tape at all times, like a bracelet.
Okay. So, Anchorage is a big place. Where?
There's one across the street from the Cars on Northern Lights.
Okay.
Okay.
And then there's near the main library.
Okay. The LUSAC.
Yeah.
Oh, I know where that one is.
Yeah.
It's hidden in the back. If you go
through
the parking lot.
Yeah, it's kind of tucked away, which also means it's a little less busy. So that's kind of a secret. I shouldn't be spoiling it on air like this, but
okay.
It's a good option.
Okay, and that's important. And also, in the past, I remember going to the post office at the airport.
Yeah, they may have automated system out there as well.
Yeah, but one of the things, they are open late. And maybe, to my mind, that's the secret. I mean, if you get past the 5 o'clock time, if you go by, if you've done something else, after dinner, maybe 9, 10 o'clock.
Maybe bring a hot chocolate.
Right, you go in and there'll be fewer. But, yes, it's a tribute to the vibrancy of our society that we have long lines.
Right,
And that we care enough.
We all want to communicate.
Right. Okay, well, we're about to finish up here. It's hard to believe we've gone almost 24 minutes.
One more great thing, if I,
please do.
I can.
Yeah.
On Saturday during Colony Christmas from 3 to 5 p.m. at our office at Farmland Trust, we are having a pie and cider with the office dog event.
With the office dog?
The Farmland Trust office dog. Who's listening in my car right now.
Well, that's good.
Okay. The office dog is kind of famous.
Colony Christmas, which is this Saturday, and it's between what time?
3 to 5 p.m.
3 to 5.
Right before the parade. You can come in and warm up with us, have some cider.
Pick up a magazine.
Pick up an edible and have some pie, have some cider. A number of my board members will be there. We'll answer any questions. It's just a light little warm-up before the parade.
And for those listeners who might not know where the Alaska Farmland Trust building is, where is that?
We are at 248 East Dahlia, which is between the library and the Palmer City Ale House.
Wow.
Yeah, so
location.
Great location to then step outside and go watch the parade.
Right, and the color is it's yellow.
It's a yellow building.
Building.
Yep.
Okay, just follow your way to the yellow building.
Yep, 3 to 5 on Saturday.
Well, I want to thank both Mary and Amy for coming in this morning and sharing new information about Edible Alaska.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week with another edition of Ag Matters.
All right. Thank you.